Committee. I'm here tonight to present you with the County Board Budget of 2019. Starts on page 303 to 306. The overall budget is down $10,531, which is a 4.18% decrease. Salary, overall personnel operations are down $1,535 due to reduction WRS retirement line item of $5,953 due to the cycling out of County Board Supervisors for whom the county has to budget WRS expenditures as the new supervisors replace those that were grandfathered from 2010. I'm going to talk about additional reductions that were made to 2019 in budget. There include reductions were made were to bring line item budgets closer to historical actual expenses this year than the previous years. There's a $1,000 reduction in office supplies. There's a $1,000 printing / duplication for business cards, resolutions, folders, pocket calendars, diaries, and pictures. There's a $300 publication / notification and legal notices, $2,010 membership dues, WC NACO and WC UTA, and there's a $5,000 other publications, which are, board proceedings and budget mods. All the other accounts are the same as the 2018 budget amounts.
Could be approved.
Second.
Discussion, anyone?
Of course, anybody in the supervisors in the room can participate as well. So. Any other discussion on the county board? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. And then we'll move on to the county executive's budget starting at 309.
Jeff. Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I would like you to make a comment about how we're doing this. Are we redoing everything at the end, or is this our approval on this item?
Oh, okay, good point.
Thank you.
Generally speaking, this has been a tentative approval, subject to final approval at the end, and you can certainly make other changes at the end, or this any time during the budget hearings. We approve of it now, but understanding that you can make other changes anytime, including the end.
I mean, and a comment I would make is that if you do have questions and concerns, bring them up now while the people are here. Don't wait till they're not. So, thank you.
All right. Jim?
Mr. Chairman, finance members, thank you for having me here tonight. I'm presenting the county executive's office budget on page 313. If you look at the it's an overall decrease of $720. There is the usual increase in the salary line for the normal adjustments that have been made by human resources. There is a decrease in the for medical insurance under the medical insurance line because of different selections for insurance. The only other change to this budget would be the staff development is a modification of $1,500 to the increase.
Move to approve.
Second.
Discussion? Yes.
I just want to thank you for the budget that you put before us. I was not at the, I unfortunately had a Cub game flu that night. So
I noticed
not
that.
There.
I noticed that.
Yeah, I'll man up to it.
Yeah.
All right. but I know that in the past we've done that levy limit thing and come in right about where the levy limit is, and you found cuts prior to, and you brought forward a good budget. I want to thank you for that.
Thank you, Supervisor. Appreciate it.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Thank you.
Moving on then to the sheriff's budget, and that's at page, starting at page 35, sheriff's budget.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, as always, it's a pleasure to be here, especially during budget time. Some highlights that we have: our budget is proposed for 2019 as an increase of 2.73, or a little over $1 million. Our operating revenue has generally remained the same for 2019 at 9.6, and the federal inmates are holding at 210. The majority of the $1 million increase is in operating costs and personnel appropriation. Salaries increased just under $600,000 for 2019, and we're proposing to add one more corporal and exchange two current corporal positions for one for two sergeant's positions, for one sergeant position. There are still five unfunded correctional guards, FTEs, for 2019. The overtime budget has remained the same for 2018. We continue to hire part-time correctional officers, which helps us reduce the overtime, and it truly has been a lifesaver as far as how we've been working overtime and filling vacancies inside of our jail. We're proposing to decrease an overall decrease of $30,000 in contractual services. Most of that is because of professional health services remain the same in 2018. The net increase of our supplies and appropriation is $30,000. The increase can be attributed to $50,000 in the increase in pharmaceuticals budget for our jail. This year's pharmaceuticals for our inmates is skyrocketing. And it all depends on the year, depends on who we have in our facility. This year has not been a good year for that. We've also increased our fuel budget by $25,000. This year, we may have about a $50,000 shortfall because prices of fuel have gone up drastically since. Capital budget plan calls for an increase of about $242,000 over 2018. The increase is primarily attributed to motorized vehicles. We plan to purchase 16 vehicles in 2018, and we plan on outfitting our patrol deputies, our take-home patrol cars. The budget also includes replacing one cube truck used by the laundry operation and placing our cargo vans used for inmate transports. The capital budget also includes phase two of a project that we started in 2018, we carried over in 2019. If some of you remember, it's called the Programmic Logic Controller, or PLCs as they call them. And the PLCs control opening doors, it controls lights, and controls sounds inside the cells, it's updating technology in both facilities to get us to where we should be, because a lot of the PLCs right now, they don't even make them anymore. So if something catastrophic happens, we'd be in a world of hurt right now. So we're working on getting that updated. We plan for a net decrease of about $50,000 in proposed revenue, and that is from the state of Wisconsin between both the felony probation and parole holds, housing program, and holds for the state extended supervisory violators. The adjustments were made to mimic actuals for 2018. Those are the highlights. And I got one captain, one chief deputy, and Nancy here to answer any financial questions we can answer for 2018.
Well, Nancy's the important one.
I look at it that same way. Come on, Nancy.
Were you done?
I'm done.
Okay. Yes, Jeff.
Well, just could you address for us the pharmaceuticals issue? You said, and I know we addressed this at judiciary and law, but is this going to be a trend you see with pharmaceuticals?
I have no idea.
It all depends on the inmates. It depends if they're, I think some of the most expensive are HIV drugs, right?
And Hep C is a new
Hep
thing
C.
coming around the block.
So if we get a couple of those that come in, it throws off our budget, the entire budget, in really a month. So that's a crapshoot no matter what we do.
Okay, thank you.
Am I? Oh, I'm sorry.
No, thank you.
Just so that we all understand, for 2018, we had adopted $230,000. And to date, we've spent $198,123. And then for 2018 projected, you're saying $467,000?
Correct.
That's over $200,000
yes.
more than to date.
What are we talking about?
Why is there such a large jump anticipated when we've only spent $198,000 to date?
It's an extraordinary year for pharmaceutical costs for inmates. Last summer, when we prepared the budget for 2018, we were planning on the same budget that we've had over a number of years. This year, we've got quite a bit more expenses for that. It depends on the type of inmate that we're holding, how long we're holding them, and what kind of illnesses they have. HIV and Hep C are very expensive medications. For 2019, I don't want to budget $400,000 because I don't know that that's going to be the case. So I just upped it $50,000 from the adopted of 2018.
Yes, Amy.
Is it possible to get an actual breakdown of
the medications versus the HIV and the Hep C versus, say, mental health pharmaceuticals?
I'm sure that our provider who contracts with the pharmacy would be able to give us some.
Is there an assumption that there's been an increase in that also?
Yes, mental health is another one too, yeah. Right.
Any other? Yes, Jeff.
I have a number of questions, concerns, comments, and things to discuss, but as long as we're on that, I understand your reasoning for the number you put in there, but I mean, do we know any other trends for any other counties, or are we, I mean, because you're right, Sheriff, if we get another 400 or 500, that is going to whack off, screw up the budget, you know, so, and I understand we don't know how to project that, we don't, you know, it's just something that I noticed a big, huge drop from what we're using this year to what we're budgeting, so we're just going to hope that it comes in there.
Okay. That's the best shot we got.
And I can live with that because, I mean, I don't know how to put a number on that, but it...
There isn't. And with our local population, I don't know if you guys even realize this, but our local population, when I came back in, was somewhere around 500. Our jail holds 970, and with all the programs that family court, drug court, veterans court, we have the Living Free program, of the 970 possibly we have, and we are close to capacity years ago, but we're about 800 right now. And our local population has remained about 500, or just a little bit below, or a little bit over. So if our local population was growing substantially, I would say, you know, we should, you know, roll the odds and increase it more, but that's holding the same. It all depends on who comes into our jail.
So what, we use the number 210 on inmates?
Yep.
What did we use last year?
210.
Every year I vote to bring it down.
I'm good with that.
I'm not going to vote that way. Okay. Because I think we'll get them. But I want to take a look at that, because for years we've been trying to bring that number down, and you know there's going to be a time when we're not going to get those people or that number, and we're going to be, it's the same thing with the opioid number and the pharmaceuticals. I mean, we're hoping we get that number to fill a void.
Yeah.
And
in two years, depending on what happens in Washington, D.C., the whole thing could
happen. Well, that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to after next year's budget, start bringing it down. We were at one point, I think I voted to bring it down to 192 at one point.
I don't remember the number, but I know that you did bring it down.
Yeah. So I'll leave it the way it is, but I'm going to look next year to try to bring that down.
Okay.
So, also, I heard you say in your very quick narrative that my brain was trying to follow as you were saying it up front, you were holding overtime. And I'm looking at the overtime number here, and our overtime used is almost $3 million. And next year we're only budgeting $1.6
million. Yeah, we never budget enough money for it.
Well, I mean, we in 2017 we used $3.3 million, $2.9 million, and now we're budgeting $1.6 million. You explain that to me, please.
Well, we always use unspent salaries to fill that, and we also use unanticipated federal inmate revenue to fill that void too. And I think, did we just do $500,000?
We're going to propose recognizing some surplus revenue this year to shore up overtime.
So it's always a numbers game of moving things around, and Nancy's very good at that. And we've been able to pretty much cover it, and so we're doing good at it. But So you're asking me about the overtime?
You're covering it with inmates and the inmate number and that type of thing.
And unspent salaries.
And unspent salaries, the vacancies that...
There might be $500,000 there as we move through the year of unspent salaries. And because of those absences, creates overtime. So that money goes to transfers.
But that's about $1.5 million that we're under.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a big number. Mm-hmm. Are the things that you've incorporated in that... we've been trying to do together, are we seeing an impact on overtime with what we're trying to do?
Yeah. For those that and I'm sure you all remember here, but go over real quickly. What we did is we created a part-time or a casual correctional officer program. And in the past, it took us, if one of us were to give a two-week notice as a correctional officer, which would be generous sometimes, and then we have to go through the entire hiring process, go through whether it be interviews or maybe they're already kind of waiting for us, and then we have to go through job traits, they have to put in a two-week notice, then they have to go through the FTO program. What we've done with the part-time correctional officer, and that's what we're all we're hiring right now. We've actually got, I think, four more starting in 2 weeks. Sound about right?
Ten?
Okay, I shorted that. So with the part-time program, what we can do is we hire them in advance, we put them through the FTO program, we get them filling overtime hours at straight pay, but it's taking away thousands and thousands of hours that we'd be forcing our correctional officers to be working. We're also allowing our supervisors to work overtime slots too. Where in the past, I mean, we truly had tons of overtime that we were forcing our correctional guards to work. And right now, we have very few forced overtime. Almost all the overtime is actually signed up for and taken by staff already. So we're working on the new program and schedule for 2019, and that also will help. We're going to, I'm sure all you guys have heard, we're going to do a 12-hour shift. And the 12-hour shifts we're able to do is from second and third shifts, we're able to move about 15 people from those two shifts, move them to day shift, and put the majority of the workload between 6 and 6. And what that's going to do is help us to reduce overtime and force-ins and all that too. So it should be a very positive thing once we get rolling and once everybody is like, okay, this is okay.
I know that you have meetings with your employees, mm-hmm. and I'd like to know what the feedback is on that shift schedule.
Our jail work group, and Supervisor Berg was actually there at one of the last ones. We meet about every quarter, and the thing, I don't know if you guys know it, but in the last year and a half of our 180 or so correction staff, about 82 went missing, and I went missing. They didn't go missing. They left for other opportunities. And for law enforcement, one of the big things that they do is it's a stepping stone into other law enforcement jobs. And we actually, through with the help of personnel, we are actually able to give them points to get them into our deputy sheriff's program rather than the city taking them and Pleasant Prairie taking them and everybody else taking them. So we gave them more points toward getting hired. And one of the exit things that they always say is they didn't like the current schedule. And they bring it up every single quarterly meeting. And what we did is we presented, well, what about this? And we hashed it all out. And at the end of the meeting, the jail work group, we have one person from each and every shift, from each building, a cook, and a booking clerk. And I asked them, I said, what do you guys think? I said, let's do a vote here. Every single one said, let's do it. I said, okay, you guys come back. And actually, when we presented it the next week, all of the people at the jail work group stood with us and presented it and answered questions. So, and they're still fielding questions. Once we get into it, we had our last one. No one here was there. But I asked the jail work group, I said, do any of you feel that until we get going with this, that a few of these concerns are going to be squelched? They said, no. I said, look, we just got to do it, and everybody's going to be happy. Everyone will be happy after we get going.
All right, because I want to make sure. I know that you can't please everybody all the time, but the last thing we need is a morale issue with the scheduling like we had the last night.
No, and actually, again, I'll go to the Supervisor Berg, but I asked the people there. I said, what do you guys think about this new schedule? Are most people happy? Supervisor Berg, what did they say? He's nodding yes.
They were happy. If I can add to what he's saying, when I spoke to Prairie du Chien Warden, he said that they did it about 7 years ago, and there was the hesitation to begin with, but now he actually has people on a waiting list to get in, which is absurd in the DLC.
Well, I think it's a good idea, but I want to make sure that, and I do see that, overtime came down about 400,000. So, I mean, I'm hoping that as we continue to do this, we don't have to keep plugging as much money in. every year to make that even. So
that's part of the goal, but the other part is just so we don't burn out the employees and give them something a little bit different, because right now you can go drive a forklift at Associated Grocers for, I don't even remember, it's like $4 an hour more than you're coming here to sit with them. So we're trying to come up with different things. And the plan, they're going to have half the year off, half the holidays off, and all the employees that I talk to are pretty excited about it. Not everyone is, but most of them are.
Okay, the next thing is motor vehicle maintenance. I mean, there's a drop of probably $50,000 in motor vehicle maintenance. So you're buying more cars and we're going to have less maintenance? How's that going to work?
Motor vehicle maintenance, the adopted budget for the current year, 2018, is $76,500. The adopted budget for 2019 is $77,900, so I just increased it a couple thousand. The actual, the projected expenses under motor vehicle maintenance, it was just extraordinarily high for that year.
For this year?
Yeah, but I don't expect it to be any that much difference. Okay. And there might be dollars in building equipment maintenance for anticipating equipment breakdown, building equipment that I could move into that line item if okay.
Let me, the expenses are higher. Okay, let me go back to the overtime. Could you, by, you know, the next time we come in or at another budget meeting here, get us like a 5 to 10 year, how much we budgeted in overtime and how much we had actually had to fill at the end of the year?
You mean the last 5 or 10 years?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just what our initial budget was and what we had to spend on overtime for that year. No matter where we got the money, I'm not going to make you dive into that and figure out everything, but I'd like to know what our final number was for overtime and what we actually budgeted for the last 5 or 10 years. So.
Nancy's been kind of bored lately, so I'm sure she'll be excited about that.
Yeah, I'm not seeing that in her eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
Push her over the edge. And yeah. have we bought it? Have we sent the deputies or the people out with their own cars yet? Or is that something you're planning on next year?
Yes and no. The we've been doing it for years. Our traffic interdiction unit, our school resource officers, our canine officers, they've been doing this for years. The ones with the 18 cars, we're waiting for some little pedestal part to get set up, because we sent them the 18 cars down to, I think it was Federal, down to Illinois, and they're building it up. Except for this one part, they're ready to go.
Okay, so I'm not going to debate the pros and cons of it now. What I want to know is, you know, you sold the part of it was the fuel costs are going to go down because they're not going to have to drive them to and fro.
I didn't sell the fuel was going to go down. I said that.
Well, they don't have to. They're going to last. You did say that.
Well, they're going to stay in their districts the same amount of time, so the miles are the same.
You don't have to drive. You don't have to drive back here. Park your car, come and get the car, drive back out.
But rather than driving all the way back home, they're patrolling their area until their shift gets done.
So okay, so another, instead of cutting out of that and driving back, I got you.
Okay. Get more patrol time.
Patrol time in the
it's
district.
It's like 15,000 extra hours of patrol time.
The Wisconsin DMI HLS program, did that go away? We had 92,000 that we used this year. I'm on page 48, about 7 lines down.
This is revenue you're speaking of?
Yes.
It's Wisconsin Department of Military Affairs Homeland Security Program.
Yep, that's what I'm asking.
We received a grant.
Okay, and then it was done when the grant was done. We're done.
Grants, actually.
Okay. Inmate housing, we already talked about that. We've got a drop of about 900,000 in revenues.
All right, what page are you
on? I'm on 49 at the end. It says this year we've used we've gotten 10,509,000 and we're looking at 9,600,000.
The adopted budget for 2018 is 9,676,503. The adopted budget for 2019 is 9,652,000, just a little bit less.
Right.
What happens, what you're looking at is a modified budget for the current mm-hmm. year or what we might collect at year end. That's the anticipated surpluses in some of those revenues, bringing it to $10 million.
Will be going away.
But, well, it depends. It's federal inmate housing. We might budget 5.8 million. Maybe we'll bring in 6.2 million. But I don't budget 6.2 million. I budget 5.8, 210 a day.
But you budget per the numbers of people.
210 a day, yeah.
Right.
So if there's surplus revenue that can shore up pharmaceuticals or overtime, then I present a budget mod to committees to say, let's use some of that surplus revenue to resolve some of the deficit spending.
Okay, the last thing I have is on the capital outlay. You mentioned the $450,000
for PLCs?
The tech update.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, is that going to finish off that program, or is there going to be more next year?
It was initially estimated at $900,000, and what we did is we had to bring in. We wanted to pretend we knew what tech stuff we needed in our jails, and we really didn't. So we called in an engineer to come in and actually design it. And we found that there weren't actually plans. Nowhere could we find in the county actual plans of what was wired and what went where, so that had to be done. And then the engineer got cancer. And the whole project just kind of went, but someone else just picked up his spot. So we're pushing forward again. But that, our goal is that's it.
Okay. Thank you.
The 210 you budgeted for our federal inmates, what is the actual again?
We're probably at 240, the average for the year so far through 9 months.
240.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
I'm back on the patrol car taken home, I guess, or whatever. Mm-hmm. The public works is putting on $100,000 for KCC, I guess in the hopes to work with more room so the county could keep their cars in the district, I guess. That's not happening now.
Are you regular patrol cars?
Whatever.
No, they all come back down here. That's why we're trying to get them.
So, is that something that you're aware of, that they're looking at doing that?
No. Maybe they described it some other way. I know that our ultimate goal with the take-home cars would. Because you all know that our regular patrol districts, they come all the way down here to the safety building and go all the way back out to Randall and Salem, well, in Salem, other districts. So what we plan on doing is at 45 and 50, when they have their own car, have their own equipment, we don't need a locker room. We need a bathroom, we need a conference. Right. We need a room like this. They come in there, do roll call, and then disperse right out of 45 and 50. So we're working toward that right now. That's our goal, is to make that happen.
Yeah, that's what Supervisor Nordegan's talking about.
Roll call.
Yeah, that's what he's talking about, Chair, so you understand. In public works, they were talking about some space that they were going to build out.
Yeah, UW is moving and sharing with
planning
and zoning.
Yeah.
And then we're going to make that spot our basically our meeting room.
You are aware that that's what they're attempting to do up there.
Absolutely. That part I am. Never heard a dollar amount, though, so.
Oh, no, that's fine. Okay, thank you.
All right, further discussion.
Question. What's a cube truck?
Cube truck is
it's a box truck.
Truck in the shape of a cube.
And it's got an elevator on the back of it, so you can take laundry and things like that. Or
mm-hmm. I mean, Jeff didn't miss much, so that's all I have left.
Well, that's good. And real quickly, just something to look for in the future. With us growing, we didn't do it this year, but for working with Summers and some other villages. We're going to need more deputies because Kenosha is growing so incredibly fast. Our calls for service, everything's going to be growing. So look for that down the road and try to. We have plans how to make that work and kind of soften the hit, I guess. And also, I'm going to be asking you guys after the first of the year to start working The state changed the way drug forfeiture funds work. And what they plan on doing is giving the money to schools. And all that sounds wonderful, but. We fund our drug programs. K-Dog is funded by drug forfeiture money. We use it for buy money. We use it to buy undercover cars, and we do all kinds of stuff with that. And In the next few years, if things don't change the way it looks like it's going to, the county itself will be funding KDOG, and they won't be letting us use drug forfeiture money. They'll all be going to schools. And at that point, you aren't going to see law enforcement throughout the state of Wisconsin going and actually pursuing this, because there's no incentive to do it. There's no incentive for us to go and get warrants, and I shouldn't say that, to go out there and really to do something. We're still going to, as a drug unit, going to keep doing it, but it's going to become funded by the county rather than the drug forfeiture money. So what I'm going to be looking to do is, through the county board, put resolutions forward requesting that they readdress how they look at drug forfeiture money.
Is there any other discussion?
I got one more question. Well, it's been a concern of mine that over the last two or three years we've been taking things away from employees, increasing payments on health insurance, and I was wondering if there a problem recruiting deputies now.
Yes.
Okay. And that, is part of that the problem because of the wages or?
Yes. Mount Pleasant right now is looking at hiring about 15 deputies in the very near future, and I was told their salaries are going to be $85,000.
And what is ours?
Franklin, what?
What are ours?
Starting wage is about 42, 45. Franklin, one of our sergeants just left there. As a sergeant here, he's going to go up there. Is a lateral transfer, and he's going to make more money up there as a patrolman up there, a new patrolman, than he will be here.
So it's not just salaries, then, but benefits. Because we've been decimating their benefits. I mean, we took dental away a few years ago, and you know we kept increasing the upfront co-pays, deductibles, and stuff. So eventually,
I will champion with you.
Eventually, it's going to hit every department we have.
Yes, and corrections is going to be really, really tough for us.
I can see why you want to work in the private side rather than, you know, you're talking 12 hours a day. That's a long day. I mean, I don't think that's easy. Right.
I mean, they do it now.
Yeah, but, you know, I work 10 and I've worked 12. In 10s, you got a life. At 12, you know, you go home, you eat, and go to bed. I mean, there's not much. And you're talking 4 days a week at 12?
No, you're talking about every other week is a two-day work week. Every other weekend you're off with this schedule. In a 14-day pay period, you're working seven. So currently, with the current schedule, you have 112 days off. With the new schedule, you're going to have 182 days off. And you're going to have half the holidays off just because of sheer luck of being scheduled. And if you have, let's say you just have 12 PTO days, you literally can have six vacation weeks every single year. And the way we're going to group it and structure it and get the workload between six and six, there's not going to be as much overtime. And so the forces, the people actually being held over, it isn't going to be like it is right now. So people are going to have more of a life. And until we actually do it, Captain Miller was just up and talked to Fond du Lac, who started this in January. They came and told him, once you do this, their staff has not been forced overtime. He said they do not want to go back to any other shift. The supervisors love it, and the patrol and their staff love it.
One last question.
Sure.
You're talking at 3-4 is what you're talking about. 3-12, 4-12.
No, it's... What is it?
It's a 2-2-3.
2-2-3?
Yeah.
Do they get, do they always get 40 hours every pay period? 80
yes.
hours?
Yes. 80.5.
Okay.
No more short weeks.
Dan, did you have something?
Yeah. Can you just speak to what dollars are we talking if we have to fund this forfeiture annually? What's the money coming in on that right now?
Yeah.
I mean, just ballpark me. I mean, I think this committee.
Right. Wisconsin Forfeiture Fund might have about $80,000 right now between and we use that to maybe change out vehicles, but not every year, so that money might stay that way for you know, a couple of years and sit there unless we're going to change out undercover vehicles, and then we use that money to purchase new vehicles. also has to do with the federal government forfeiture fund as well. There's two ways for claiming forfeiture dollars, and the rules for the state are starting to butt up against the federal rules.
So you're asking how much do we use
each
year?
What I'm asking is if this would go away and the forfeiture dollars goes to schools, how much would the sheriff's department ask from the county annually to fund these projects? I mean, just ballpark.
Yeah, maybe $30,000.
Okay.
If we have vehicles that need to change over.
No, I think
it's more than that.
It's more than that.
For operations and just to keep it up and running, it's about $20,000 to $30,000. My confidential funds and all of that, it's about a good
$70,000 to $80,000.
Okay,
$100,000.
Okay. But isn't it a double-edged sword too, because we'll have to fund it as a county, but then also less will be coming in that will eventually go to the schools.
They won't get it either, because the departments around the state won't be
exactly
pursuing it like what
right.
we have.
Right. And then back to the 12-hour shifts at the jail. I've been through the presentation before this one. And I just asked Captain Miller. Obviously, if this thing was catastrophic, we would look at moving in a different direction.
Sure.
I just want everybody to understand that this isn't something that we're doing and we're set in stone. If this doesn't work for Kenosha County, we're looking to move
yeah.
in a different direction.
And we told the staff that too. And actually, when we asked them about setting up how we work overtime and how we divvy things up at the jail work group, that's what the group decides. They help us decide of how they want to do it, and that's how we work it. So it's really a pretty, and if you guys ever want to come, I know you're invited, but if you want to come, it's one of my funnest committees, other than coming here. It's one of the funnest committees
good
I
call.
Go to.
Good call.
That was good. What a nice right, lead.
Nice save.
Through the chair, I would like to ask that at the next legislative meeting, you get together with the sheriff and get a resolution together and send it to our legislators to keep that forfeiture money in. You had mentioned putting a resolution
yeah.
together, correct?
Yeah.
So I would like to see that on the next legislative meeting. If that, could you make that happen?
When's the next legislative meeting?
November.
I'm lucky I can figure out the finance funds.
Thanks. Okay.
All right. Further discussion on the sheriff's budget.
Can we do
budget,
that?
Motion to
next one. Okay.
All right. Further discussion. John just moved to approve the budget.
Second.
Presented, and there's a second run. Any other discussion from anybody?
You won't.
All right. Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. And
thank
we'll
you.
We'll move on to CABA at 261.
We have financial.
No.
Joint
services at 261.
Exactly.
Wow.
No, 79.
79. Okay. Jeff, are you going to do that or what?
Jeff?
No.
Tom's here. He's out in the hallway.
Why don't you do it, Jeff? You know it all.
Come on.
You know. You'd have to ask him
some
questions.
You got it
in your head. There's a lot of things in my head, John.
Well, some of them we probably don't want.
All
right. Anybody can approve this budget, but you haven't done it. That would be an inside job.
Now, are you going to take it, or? What kind of laugh was that?
Well, you're on the hot seat.
All right. Good evening.
Oh, all right, Tom, you go ahead and present your budget.
Okay. Kenosha Joint Services, I'm the director, Tom Genthener. With me is Josh Nielsen, assistant director, and finance assistant, Francine Hoover. So our budget for 2019 is, the total budget is $9.6 million. That represents a $132,000 increase in expenditures and a negative 0.29 increase in the tax levy. What is assigned to the county is approximately $4.3 million that's set by formula. So to highlight the budget, we are funding the organization to accomplish organizational missions. We are not requesting any new employees. There is no across-the-board pay raises. Health insurance has not been determined yet. We are out to market with health insurance. We're waiting for the consultant to come back But the board has funded health insurance at approximately $1.3 million. That's $31,000 less than last year. The drivers to the budget increases is a $91,000 increase to our rent and a $38,000 step increase to the employees. That's the highlights of the budget. I'd be happy to address any other questions that you may have or go into more detail if you do have other questions.
Move to approve.
Second.
Discussion? Yes, Ron.
Question. I don't know. I think, did the city have to put a referendum out to hire new police officers? Is there something on the ballot for that? Or is there,
I think only if they want to raise taxes.
What's that?
Only if they want to raise taxes.
Right.
So the city would be, from what I understand, the city needs to put something on a referendum to hire more police officers, yeah. Something, correct?
Additional to what we already have.
Less than what they already have. So that wouldn't affect your budget at all either.
No, that would not affect our budget.
And if it went through, they would just pick up their costs, right?
I will also add that when we approve the budget and send it on to you, and we put that insurance number in there, just know that that's a cap, so it has to come in at there or less. So you're not going to get a raise down the road. Just so you know, Tom didn't state that, but that's the way we approve the budget when we don't have the insurance numbers back. So we put a hard cap on it. It can't go over that. So what you see is what you get, or even a little better. So,
John,
what do you see on the horizon for your employment in 911?
We continue to struggle to bring in employees. Training is very comprehensive and takes anywhere from 9 months to 18 months to get somebody fully trained. So it is a very difficult position, and it is a multitasking position. Not only do you have to listen to the telephone, you have to be on the computer, doing many different tasks at one time. I expect that, like many positions within the county and the region, we will continue to struggle to get up to full staff. We are doing the best we can. Right now, we are about 4 employees down in communications.
Anything further, Jeff?
Just to piggyback on your question, it's similar to when the sheriff comes before us and says, well, when we have these deputies and they leave, we have to not only hire somebody, then we have to train them, send them through the academy, all this kind of stuff. So there's a big time lag there. So we always struggle at that, but we do the best we can. It's a high-stress job.
Was there a lot of turnover in 911, or, I mean?
There has been recently. We have lost some senior employees, some people who have been there for 30, 31 years.
Well, retirement, I hope.
Retirement,
yeah.
Yes. And then we have had other employees that have moved on to other jobs. And within that, we may lose one or two in a year that they just aren't able to make the orientation process. They're just not what we're looking for to become fully trained.
Further discussion? Anyone? And just for information, what's the city-county split on that?
The county split is 54.8%. The city is 45.3%, and we're looking at approximately $3.6 million that the city will be responsible for.
And those percentages are based on annual studies?
I think Barna might be able to explain it a little bit better.
The variable percentage is the apportionment ratio in the city. That's the variable that changes. And then joint services budget.
So the county calls in more than the city?
Right now, from last year to this year, I think the apportionment went up a little bit for the city, and so their portion went up.
Okay. Anyone further? There is a motion to approve on the floor. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
We'll move on now to Kaba and Todd Battle, page 261.
Todd. Yes. Hello. Good evening, everybody. Todd Battle with the Kenosha Area Business Alliance. I think the Kaba piece of the budget is fairly straightforward. The county annually for a number of years has contributed about $150,000 to CAPA. That is essentially about a 10% of our operating budget. It's become a very cost-effective way to fund economic development. The county offers that support to us, and it's kind of a key piece of our public-private partnership. There's some documents included in there just talking a little bit about CAPA's strategic plan, and we regularly report to the county and its finance committee on various results. In terms of the programs we operate, we're going to continue to focus on business retention, expansion, business attraction, and our various financing programs. I would say also, and you heard a little bit already tonight, there's an increased focus on talent development, retention, attraction. Increasingly, employers throughout the community, at the county and in the private sector, are having struggles around people issues around talent attraction and just being able to find and keep people. Some of the major highlights and initiatives that continue to be successful are Prairie Highlands Corporate Park development that we pursued with the Village of Pleasant Prairie has gotten off to a great start. That site is under construction now to be ready for Haribo's development on about 140 acres. Aurora broke ground recently on a healthcare campus on about 65 acres there. And then the Village announced last week that they've sold another about 70 acres in that park to a developer called HSA Commercial. So that's become a very successful development over the last couple of years. We continue to do fairly well with our Salem Business Park. We've got our first tenant in there a little over a year ago. We're actively chasing additional build-to-suit opportunities where we would either sell lot or build additional buildings in that park. Continue to manage our various revolving loan fund programs. Our total portfolio today is a little bit north of $32 million of economic development revolving loan fund assets. We continue to manage the high impact fund on behalf of the county, and we've leveraged that tool very successfully. I think to date we've funded about 11 different economic development projects with that tool and done so very cost effectively. We see a pretty good pipeline of economic development prospect activity, a lot of speculative industrial construction going on right now, a lot of activity in the marketplace in terms of private companies still looking to site new facilities in the area. So we see good things ahead. We appreciate the support the county's offered us in the past. Look forward to continuing working with this body and the full county board to grow our economy throughout Kenosha County. The last thing I'd mention is we are also working with the county on maybe an opportunity. We have a community development block grant funded revolving loan fund program. The state of Wisconsin is talking about a CDBG closeout program where they would essentially do away with block grant revolving loan fund programs. We think if they do that, there's a real opportunity for CABA and the county to work together and essentially keep all of those funds in Kenosha County, but have them lose their federal restrictions or guidelines. Some of the block grant requirements that are put on that revolving loan fund can make it a little bit cumbersome to use for economic development projects. It can be somewhat restrictive in what you can fund. So we're looking to see if the state does move forward with that, and if the Department of Housing and Urban Development approves that closeout program, we'd be looking to work with the county to see if we could leverage that as an opportunity to defederalize that fund. But I'm happy to answer other questions about CABA and our activity or the budget request in front of you. But thank you.
Jeff?
I have, I'm looking at this, and I'm just looking at black and white numbers. So maybe you can let me know whether I'm thinking it right or not. It looks like we contributed $1,250,000 last year, or we're going to. Because that's what it looks like in revenue we have here.
So, yeah, just I'll try to answer it. So there's the budget piece that we get or we request from the county gets support on annually is $150,000 for our operating budget. I think the other pieces that show in the budget have to do with the high impact program and how that's funded. But you typically fund that through your capital budget process. So the timing of when those funds are bonded and when they come to CABA, it's a little bit, there's more to it than than just what's on the black and white paper. So
that explains it. Thank you. How much do we have in our bonding for this?
For this year, we do not have $250,000 budgeted as we have in the past.
So in other words, my question is valid. We had $1,250,000 this year, and now all we're going to do is have $150,000 that we annually put in.
Correct. We're carrying over because we have $1 million left. We're carrying it over from prior years. So that is why we're not budgeting $250,000.
Excellent. That explains it. Thank you.
The other thing I just mentioned, to Barnes' point, there was a little bit of carryover because we've had the ability to draw in the past and left some in reserve. The other thing is I mentioned about the CDBG closeout program. We think, in kind of just initial discussions with county staff, that as part of that closeout program, it might be a creative way for us to fund the high impact program in the future. So we're kind of trying to keep a little dry powder there. And if the state gets this program approved, see if we can make that become the funding source for the high impact program and kind of kill two birds with one stone, so to speak.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, is because we've been so successful partnering with you to bring companies in and creating jobs, and then I didn't see it, so I'm a little curious how dry powder translates to money, but that's okay. We can talk about that another time.
Further discussion?
Yeah, Todd, for dollar for our return on investment, what would you say for job creation? How does that look for us? How would you say that is for every dollar we give you and how you invest that with bringing in companies into the area?
I don't know that we've done it on the operating budget. We have done it on the high impact fund, and we share those reports. So, you know, there's something like we've invested on the order of about $3 million in that high impact fund since 2011. And I think we would claim that 1,100 jobs or something like that have been resulted from that program. So we've got some of those metrics, like how many dollars per job.
Right.
On the operating budget, you know, it's a little bit harder to say. You guys give us about $150,000 a year. That's 10% of about a $1.5 million operating budget. And over the last 5 years, we, you know, on our scorecard where we track how much investment and how many jobs have been created in the community, you know, we count somewhere in the neighborhood of about 7,000 jobs that resulted from projects that we've been involved in, and we count close to $1.2 billion of new investment,
right.
New buildings, new construction, new development. So I didn't do the exact math in my head, but I guess my point would be, I think it's a pretty cost-effective way to fund economic development. The contribution you make to us buys into our larger countywide program.
I think it's a great partnership.
It's been pretty good results. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Right.
Just like to say, we've come a long way in the last 8 years, haven't we?
Yeah.
From where we started, when we first came in here, we started out with $1 million. You turned that into, obviously, the economy's picking up, but yeah, good job.
Thanks.
You foresee positive things from the Foxconn, which might spill off to Kenosha?
Yeah. I think if the Foxconn development transpires as proposed, I mean, it's got to have a impact on the region. I mean, it's just such a large project in terms of construction, investment, job creation. So, you know, whether it's the supplier base or whether it's just people coming to the area to serve that company, or there's just kind of the spillover benefit, us being right next door to that, I think is a real opportunity to leverage. I guess you just want to be measured in your approach there, because I think some of the predictions about the size and the impact and the scale of that project, you know, you just want to make sure that, you know, I guess we've seen it before where there's a tremendous number of eggs put into a single basket, and then it, you know, can be a little bit challenging. I think Kenosha County has done well by having a much more diversified economy. So I think there's some opportunities there. How great and how sizable those opportunities are probably depend on how that really develops based on what they've proposed so far, and then, you know, what transpires over the next few years.
I think Mount Pleasant's finding it out right now, aren't they?
they're in the eye of the storm right now. Yeah.
Do you see a lot of spin-off companies from Foxconn? I mean, I hear Owens Glass. I mean, you know, different companies. You build something as big as Foxconn, somebody's got to supply it. Right. And obviously, we're close.
Yeah. So the Corning glass plant was talked about as a supplier that needed to be on site. I think subsequent news and information about the project has changed a little bit. There was a much larger facility proposed that needed to have Corning Glass have a glass factory on the site. I think they've changed the scope of the project a little bit, so it's been, I think they've talked about that Corning probably will not have a plant on that site. So again, it's kind of back to depending on what production facility ends up being built on that site and what is built there, probably has a lot of impact on the supplier base in the area. You know, we would hope that there's certainly probably going to be some supplier base that would need to be attracted here. I think part of the strategy of the state of Wisconsin is that a lot of local companies would make parts and components and other pieces that would be supplied for this finished product.
They're going up to Green Bay. Yeah. I mean, they're trying to make Foxconn a statewide thing,
yeah,
rather than because they were screaming about Kenosha.
Further discussion, John.
Just the inquiries that you're getting about our area, Kenosha County. Is it you see a big increase lately, or is it,
so? It's there's been a pretty solid run of development. That, you know, I would probably trace back all the way to like 2012 or 13 is probably the start of it, and it's been pretty steady and pretty positive since. I frankly thought with some of the more recent development, like Foxconn and Parable and some of these other large projects, that some of our development activity would tail off because people would be concerned about the depth of the labor force and, you know, how would they compete with Foxconn or Parable or some of these other major employers. We haven't seen that, like in terms of the deals and inquiries and projects that are actively looking at this market. There really has not been any tail off. It's still a very strong, active marketplace. I think our location between Milwaukee and Chicago has really been leveraged very well. There's a lot of investment coming into the community in a lot of different places. We've got great industrial sites. We've got good infrastructure. We have developers building Class A industrial product. So I think it's still a very strong value proposition.
Thank you.
It's Mike.
Are we going to be able to supply the employees that are trained to do this? I mean, obviously Gateway is going to need assistance. I mean, Parkside, you know, even the high schools. I mean, you get into high schools, you can train.
Yeah, I mean, the labor force question is probably the, you know, the most challenging thing in the development world right now. The other thing I guess I just would also just point out, if you look at our demographics, particularly our commuting patterns, Kenosha County to a large extent still is a pretty sizable bedroom community. We've got around 25,000-30,000 people on a net basis that live here, have a home and family in the community, but don't work here. And so I still think as this area grows and we see more investment in some of these major facilities, it's a really good opportunity to improve a lot of people's quality of life and save them a couple hours a day commuting to jobs elsewhere, because in the past they maybe haven't had as good of opportunities as close to home. So that's part of it. I think as you look at some manufacturing and some construction and other technical positions, go talk to any employers in that area and it's really tough. They're having a struggle finding young people that want to go into those occupations and some of the trades. So I don't know that there's any kind of silver bullet for that, but that's an issue for sure.
Well, I mean, are they going into the, I mean, to me, you go into the high schools, that's where they, when I was a kid, that's where they reached. You know, if you ain't going to college, come here, we'll teach you to be a plumber. Mm-hmm. You know, here's wire, now you're an electrician. I mean, are they doing that?
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of programs going on that do that. The technical college is all about doing that. Some of our high schools have very strong youth apprenticeship programs. Just I don't know that the supply is currently keeping up with the demand. Because it may be the best way, I'd say.
Okay. All right, further discussion? Yes.
So, Todd, obviously, just the economy in general, from, say, we'll just go back like 4 years ago, it's changed dramatically. We've spoken to that. And we've got a lot of employers interested in the area just due to the growth. Can you speak a little bit about is whether or not now is the time, and I think it was mentioned earlier, to be a little bit more selective and not necessarily having to incentivize employers to come here and waiting to when there will be an economic downturn somewhere in the future, nobody can predict it, where then it may be we need to dip into some of these resources. Is that some of the strategic thinking that you guys have talked about or look at from a broader perspective?
I certainly understand the point and the question. At times, I would say I don't know that I would say it. I think we'd want to raise the bar. So, like the economy's strong, maybe a project that we would have incentivized strongly 4 years ago, maybe now we wouldn't incentivize as strongly. Or if we were going to incentivize it, we'd demand that the economic impact from it or the pay levels or the investment was higher. You know, I think so it's raising the bar a little bit when we can. But we've tried to be cautious about that too. We've seen economic cycles where things are good and they're bad. And some of our philosophy is things seem to be really good right now. And it's a pretty good time to keep the foot on the accelerator as opposed to pump the brakes. Because when things aren't as good or the economy, there aren't as many opportunities, you know, we could have the best incentive programs in the world or be the greatest marketing people in the world, but if nobody's spending money and nobody's building buildings and nobody's expanding businesses, it kind of can fall on deaf ears. So it's a little bit of a balance, but I certainly appreciate the question. I think what we've tried to do is raise the bar. The community's performing better. We're starting to see it with rising wages in terms of the types of employers that are coming and the wages that they're paying. We've tried to take some of the great development that's happened up and down the interstate corridor and use some of that success to bring money back into the core of the city for the Chrysler site or downtown. So I think we're trying to raise the bar would be the way I would say it.
And you mentioned the Chrysler site. Do you guys have anything on the back burner or has there been any inquiry in it? It'd be a great, it's challenging to get to and from off the I-94 corridor. That's the biggest challenge, but certainly that would be a nice shot in the arm for the city.
Yeah, so the city has really strong control over that site. The environmental cleanup continues. I think, you know, they're kind of nearing the end of kind of the most significant parts of the environmental cleanup. And now it's kind of getting to a point where it's ready. It's really ready for investment and redevelopment. We try to work pretty closely with the city. I mean, they own the site. They kind of have a vision for what they'd like to have there. And we try to work with them as cooperatively and as, you know, be as big of an assister as we can on that site. But I think they really want to, they kind of have some thoughts on what they'd like to see happen at that site. And we're trying to help make sure we can help them do that.
Thank you. Mike and Spritz blood on that. I had breakfast with the mayor, Supervisor Glitzky. He said,
"Can you name drop?"
Nope.
Okay, just wanted to
just tell him. he's saying they don't have any plans to do anything with that anytime soon. So,
yeah. Any other discussion? Chair to entertain a motion to approve.
So moved. Second.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Todd.
Thank you. Have a good night.
For me.
Thank you. Is there a representative of the Corporation Council?
I don't think he's here yet. So.
All right. Why don't we then move to the next item on the agenda, District Attorney?
That's a docket budget.
Smart.
That's right.
Good
well,
timing. Sometimes we're just unlucky, but excellent in our time.
Yeah. Page 53 is the budget.
What page?
53.
53. Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to let you know it's my birthday today, so I don't know if there are unwritten rules about only kind questions on one's birthday.
There's not.
To the budget. There's not.
No. All right. As a matter of fact, it's the other way.
It's the other way around. Okay. Let's check.
Good but happy birthday.
Thank you. Some of you thought I was above shamelessly advertising that, but I was not.
And you're 20, what, 22, 23?
Yeah, I'm 22 this year, right? I think that's it.
Are you sure it's not 29?
It could be 29, all right. Oh, a birthday treat. No. Okay.
do we sell birthdays? We're just a year older.
It's when you stop having birthdays you have a problem.
Yeah, there wasn't. There's not much of a celebration going on at this one's focus. Did you want me to start?
Sure, go ahead,
Mike. All right, so really the only changes that we're really bringing this year to the budget are that we're asking for less money. I'm really kind of proud of our...
Less money, move, we improve.
Second. Yeah, right. Well, so it's when I say less money, I mean in the discretionary portions of the budget. So there are some salary and benefit stuff, and there's been some loss of revenue that the state is not handing out to us in our victim witness program this year just because of the change in their formula in terms of the state contribution. But in terms of the things that we had discretion to be able to come and ask for, we've asked for cuts. I think the chart I had given you indicates that we've asked you for $29,000 less dollars in the discretionary money that we had a part of. We've only asked for two things to be increased. Our on-call phones, which were still flip phones this year, are now going to be smartphones for the first time ever. So I think I've been told law enforcement has been ready for that for a while. And we're also increasing, we're asking for a staff development increase this year simply because we are well on our way in the paperless project that many of you were a part of and followed last year, and there's a lot of data training, particularly for our paralegal staff, which we have to do this year to be able to have them prepared for the way data is coming in from police departments now and the way that we have to then treat that data in our Protect system. So we've found that there's some training that has to happen to be able to have that data work seamlessly, but the rest of the savings are almost all paperless items, things that we're no longer going to be able to, we're going to need in terms of supplies in this year or in upcoming years. I can talk about the Vivitrol program or the diversion program if folks are curious. I did bring some statistics. You guys have asked me about that several times before. But mostly I'm here to tell you we're asking for less discretionary money this year. So,
how is the Vivitrol program? Is it working?
Yeah, so we so far since we first came to you, we've diverted 130 total cases. We started that process. 100 of them are cases that are still have either completed their program or are still in program. So it's approximately a 1-in-4 ratio that are failing in the program, which I think is a standard expected amount. The way I talk about the success of the Vivitrol program is the last time we looked, a couple weeks ago, there had been 814 UAs. These are UAs that are part of our monitoring of those individuals for opiate habits that are on a weekly basis. 814. Prior to the Vivitrol program, these people being involved, 100% of those UAs, those urinalysis tests, would have been positive with all of the crimes and the difficulties that all those positive weeks would have been. Of those 814, only 2% of those tests have been positive for opiates. So we have a 98% reduction for the folks we're diverting. Even the people who fail while they're in the program, it's 98% successful. So from my perspective, that's weeks of sobriety from that, from the devastation of that habit, and that's the most tangible way I can talk about it.
Now, do you look at it, I mean, okay, you study it basically for a year. What about 3 years?
Well, we haven't been there 3 years, right? No, so we're the very earliest people we have are about at the are almost a year and a half now, not even quite, because it was a May program that where we really got going. So, but we intend to do that. I mean, obviously, this is the kind of program that you know, I'm frankly excited. I think the board should be excited about the opportunity to get some chances to have enough statistical work to be able to study this at some point. And PSG, the folks who, you know, do most of the counseling for this program by contract, are folks already ready and equipped to do that kind of data analysis. So I'm looking forward to seeing what the progress is ultimately. But we are now at the stage where our first few members of the program are at the point where they're no longer getting Vivitrol shots. They're being sort of informally monitored. But remember, you have to go 18 months without new criminal convictions to have this, you know, the program be finished.
Oh, is this all tied in with, you know, finding them? I mean, get somebody off of drugs is wonderful, but if they ain't got nothing to do, they're going back to drugs. I mean, are you working with the job center, with everything in the county to...
So we haven't been comprehensive that way. What professional services group does by contract, and that's part of the social service budget in terms of supporting this program,
They have counselors who deal with the addiction piece of it that try to help the person figure out how to combat that. And then within that, those are folks who are monitoring and trying to assist with family situations, housing, and jobs. But if you're asking me, is that a comprehensive part of this program? No. This is really focused on treatment. We haven't taken this program and gone other directions with it, and that's certainly something that people could talk about at some point.
Yeah, I'll respond to that. I met with the Vivitrol portion of Professional Services Group. They're very positive about it, and they are the ones that go out and counsel and work with, because I wanted to know, here, we're pumping money into this and we're supporting this. Not only what are the black and white statistics, but what happens to the people afterwards? And they speak very positively about being able to get in and impact people's lives. You know, not everything's going to work, but for this program, they're very pleased with the results. They've had to bring on more people and grown that department. So they're coupling with what they're doing a very good job.
So, and remember, our program is people with virtually no record. And then PSG and the county is also doing a program that's very close to a prison diversion. So it's individuals who've been through a lot of different treatment options before, have been incarcerated multiple times before. So certainly the niche that our county, you know, is not talking about in terms of these programs we're talking about is that middle range, those people who've had some criminal behavior but are not ready, you know, are not people who are headed for prison yet. And so that middle range are still people that, you know, that the county, I know, is interested in talking about. PSG and the county exec's office is very interested in still talking about how we can serve that group of individuals.
All right, further discussion?
We'll do approve.
Okay.
All right, there's one motion and further discussion.
One question. Did you get your new chairs?
We got a third of the chairs. So we have a conference room much like this that has chairs that look a lot like this. And then we have the most egregious of the office chairs. So, but we'll be back one of these years in the future. I'll have some of you come and meet with me and be in my rattiest chairs sometime in the future.
I've got some ratty ones.
Yeah, you might have to come up to the county board and sit in our chair.
Really?
Come and sit in his chair.
I'm willing to do a chair off with you anytime.
He's trying to tell me they're antiques. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Really? That's what everyone says when they don't want to fix them anymore. I've heard this tactic before.
Yes. Take some from the boardroom. Nobody in this.
All right, further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Don't try the birthday thing.
We'll move on then. Corporation Counsel is still not here. All right, we'll do the juvenile intake 71.
Everybody's happy he's not here.
Further reduction in his budget.
I was hoping to get before Mike. Oh, he showed up.
You didn't practice it.
Okay. Got some handouts. I think you already.
I do. Okay.
And it's not my birthday, so.
Everybody's gonna try that now.
71. Okay. Good evening, members of the Finance Committee. I am pleased to be here before you this evening to present my 2019 budget. For fiscal year 2019, I'm requesting $812,000 in tax levy dollars. The first page in your packet gives you a breakdown of the line items that are changing from 2018 to 2019. You'll be able to see on that page that the other professional services line item has the largest increase. I'm recommending an additional $46,000 to cover the cost of juvenile detention, and I'll explain that more in a second. There are some other line items that have minimal increases on that page. Related to the second page, that gives you a breakdown of how many bed days we have used in juvenile detention over the last several years. The average over that 7-year period is 2,171 bed days. The third page you have in your packet is some history on what the daily rate or cost of detention has been over the last several years. As you can see, it was pretty stagnant, and it just recently started increasing. Next year, Racine is increasing their rate
For the first time, they are making their rates gender specific. They will be charging more for females than males. Females experience more trauma, therefore require more care. And what Racine is doing is they're expanding their mental health services within their detention center so that these girls can meet with a therapist on a daily basis. They've also increased their female detention staff that monitor these girls. So that's why they're saying they need the additional money.
How much is the difference? I mean, what are the two rates?
Next year it'll be 175
for
females, and males will be 150. It's an extra $25 a day. When you break down, like, of all the kids we send to detention in a year, and you look at 7 years, about 31% of the population is female and 69% is male. It sounds like it's going to be a lot of money, but overall it's going to be between $5,000 to $10,000 that $25 a day is going to cost us. The increase overall is what is the $46,000. Because this year we're paying $130 a day, and next year will be $150 or $175.
So you're not going to, was it West Bend?
We are still going to Washington County.
Washington County.
As I reported at the Judiciary and Law Enforcement Committee meeting, we have had to place some juveniles in Washington County that Racine County wanted released. There were conflicts to holding them, or the juvenile was too difficult. And the setup at Washington County is a little different. They have individual pods or individual cells where they can house juveniles separately, where in Racine detention, it's day rooms of 20 kids, and they have a hard time separating kids.
How much is the rate, Washington?
Washington increased theirs in 2018 to $150 a day. So I think Racine got wind of that, and that was one of the reasons they were increasing in 2019.
Is there an average stay? I mean, like, could you?
The average length of stay is roughly 10 days. However, this year, we've admitted less kids to date than we admitted last year. We were like 10, a count of 10 ahead, but we're spending more this year. So I think that average length of stay is increasing. When kids are held on waiver petitions, which means they come into court, it's a new crime, but the DA's office, and I'm sad Mike just left, he could have sat here for this, they file a waiver petition. They're asking the judge to waive them into adult court. There's no time limit on how long that takes to get to that waiver hearing. We're having some kids stay as long as 2 months, 3 months. And that's causing the increase.
Thank you.
Further discussion?
Is that wait because the courts are behind, or?
Yes, courts are, the court calendar is very congested, especially in juvenile court.
Yeah, so the contractual in the budget here is about $50,000, and that's where it comes in?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, that's all I had checked off for this, so move to approve.
Second.
Hi, John.
I just was seconding.
Okay. Whatever. Further discussion?
Hey, Mary, what can we do about that?
about
the longer length of stay. This is a financial penalty burden. That's
right.
What I'm looking for. But I'm asking you as the expert, what, and I'm sure Supervisor Gensel wants to do, but I'm asking before he gets to the question.
I've raised a concern in the past with the court. I think, however, when I can show them, I'm going to wait till the end of October and I get the next set of bills in, what the difference is between this year and last year. You know, just having that in their minds, maybe they'll try to schedule it sooner. We're having some difficulty right now because one judge is out of the office on a short leave, so that has even moved things back further.
When we do that, can we bring that information back to this committee, please?
Sure.
Because that's going to be a lot of money.
Right.
I'd like for us to be proactive.
All right, further discussion? Seeing then, all those in favor say aye.
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 Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you.
must be trying at times.
The Corporation Council has no.
Oh,
we called you earlier.
That's what I understand. it's like being in Judge Fisher's courtroom. I used to say it was the only place in the building where you could be on time until 5 minutes late.
Well, that's right. Well, we've been.
So, you're up next.
Go ahead.
Good evening, Supervisors. I do apologize. I have been in Houston for the last several days at a conference. I flew out at 5:30 this morning, meaning I've been up since 2:30, and had not seen my family in several days, so I got home to try and have dinner with them. So I apologize for being a little bit late.
Well, you
were no delay. We went around you and filled it in. So.
You're still ahead of
schedule. You're okay.
So you're at
315. Let another lawyer intimidate you.
For those of you who have been on the Finance Committee before, the Corporation Counsel's Office budget tends to not change much from year to year, tends to be fairly consistent. Obviously, the biggest chunk of the budget goes directly to personnel and benefits costs, or as I think of those costs, really outside of my discretion in terms of any changes that I could make. I believe the only other changes of note from last year is a slight increase in the amount for books and manuals, simply because we assume that prices tend to go up on a yearly basis, even for those books that we are on a subscription basis with. And as members who have been on the Finance Committee before know, generally speaking and traditionally, in the budget, the amount of $40,000 has been set aside for outside legal fees, those instances where we might have to hire outside counsel either because of a conflict or because of some specialized knowledge. There is language, standing language in the budget that rolls that amount over because we may not use it for 4, 5, 6 years, but then we could blow through $100,000 or $150,000 very quickly under the right / wrong circumstances. Last year there was a moratorium. That money was not placed in the budget last year. I believe it was Supervisor Gentz who made me swear in a stack of Bibles that it was my understanding that it was not meant to be an ongoing thing. The $40,000 was restored in this year's budget. So otherwise, I don't have any other specific notes to draw your attention to, other than because the question has come up before, I will note if you're looking at the organizational chart.
Yes.
And again, I think that people who've been on the committee before probably know this, but it bears repeating. There are a total of 6 of us in the office, 4 attorneys, 2 support staff. The organizational chart reflects 5.7 FTEs rather than 6.0. That's because 0.15 of both the first assistant and one of the 2 support people is charged to a different account based on the amount of time that they spend working with our insurers on liability issues, keeping tracks of claims against the county, etc.
That answered my question.
Okay. Further discussion? Yeah, anyone have a discussion?
Move the approval.
Second.
Discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
So the Bibles work is what you're saying?
The Bibles work, yeah.
All right.
So on me, anyways. So,
all right, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
And finally, Circuit Court, 63.
What page were you on?
63.
Pretty straightforward.
Here comes trouble. 65.
Are you looking at me?
I don't think
he's kidding.
Well, it is my pleasure on behalf of the judges and myself to present our budget. We work very diligently in just keeping it above a 1% levy increase. And that increase is pretty much effectuated towards an increase of a half-time position on one of our staff. And the only other major piece of modification that I wanted to bring your attention to was an increase in our guardian ad litem contract of 3.5%. In terms of the part-time position, a year ago I was able to hire a new person after the previous person retired after 20 some odd years in that position. And out of respect to her tenure in the office and her diligent work, she had very little desire to increase to full-time. So we adapted procedures around the office, sometimes to our detriment and sometimes because we have exceptionally hardworking people in the office who would go above and beyond. With her leave, I aggressively pursued this with personnel to make that position full-time because the duties definitely warrant it. It's on our appeals desk. My predecessor had to report to the Supreme Court and appear before the justices because that desk was not adequately taken care of. I'm pleased that I've never been summoned there, and I would prefer to keep it that way. So I hope I have your support in making that position full-time. In terms of the guardian ad litem contract, questions were raised at Judiciary and Law regarding this. In terms of what Racine pays and what Kenosha pays. And Racine and Kenosha aren't always apples to apples. It's kind of apples to maybe grapefruit. But they have six guardian ad litems, and they are paid $50,000 annually. Our contract is proposed for 2019 at $48,300 per guardian ad litem. We do have 6.5 positions here. That is because Racine County also employs family social workers in their family court office that does a lot of the legwork to allow the guardian ad litems to move forward on their cases with less effort. We have the extreme pleasure in Kenosha County that we don't have a lot of turnover in our guardian ad litem positions. They have great respect for our judges. They are highly sought after contracts, so the standards on that contract are very high. Racine, on the other hand, has difficulty maintaining six of those positions. They can actively maintain five. The sixth position is actually on an hourly contract basis. That's per the clerk conversation I recently had with the clerk over there. Last year, we also gave them a zero increase, or we didn't give them any increase on their contract last year. The courts went through a rotation this year, which resulted in a change of judges in our juvenile court, a restructuring of some of our treatment courts, and the addition of the pilot program that allowed for parents to be appointed by the public defender's office in our juvenile cases to help expedite some of those processes. So now that that's all ironed out and fleshed out, the numbers actually support that 3.5% raise, even more than it would have last year. In terms of
Jeff,
other...
That
is my question. With the increase in salaries, is that the... Because a half a person is not going to be the $100,000 or more. So you're saying because of the increase...
Well, there's a few increases in our expenses. In addition to the half-time, that's about $45,000, the half-time position. It's about $10,000 on the guardian ad litem contract. And the other more significant to add up to the increase are on our interpreter revenues, our doctor's fees, and our and attorney's fees compared to previous budget years.
So the different fees and stuff also go into your salary line item, which...
No, they're under the contractual.
I mean, that's up $150,000, it looks like to me, unless my
the
math is
personnel?
Right. It's the end of the night. Salaries.
They'll move one line over.
No.
Compared to 2 to 6.
So adopted budget, not how much we used. All right. Good. Thank you.
Oh, I'm glad I could answer that.
Yeah. You did very well. Thank you.
Osmosis.
No, she didn't want to get
just Becky, did your budget get the approval of the committee?
Yes.
Just a question on one line item here. 448120 on page 69. Just explain, just tell me what that is. For some reason, I missed that.
Which one? Interest?
Intercourts investments.
Yes, it's on monies that we earn off of monies we keep in our accounts. So like when you take bond,
yeah.
When we keep your bond, we invest that. And over the course of the last few years, it is continually...
We make more with our interest collections for
right.
your debts.
You're making quite a bit more, it looks like. That's
We've made a significant push in our collections department to collect interest that is owed to the clerk of courts
yeah.
for old debts.
Okay.
So it is showing itself.
That's a good thing.
Yes, it
yes.
is.
Yeah, good.
Yes.
Thank
and
you.
We hope to increase this
yeah.
more in the next year over an incentive
I mean,
it's a
nice
bring
jump.
Back
That's
to.
A good thing.
John?
Yeah, what rate of investment or what rate of return are you getting out of those loans?
The county interest or
yeah,
the
court
investments? The court investments is actually handled by the treasurer, so I couldn't tell you that part.
Give me some government bond.
All right, I believe their budget is tomorrow if you want to come back. Anyone else? Anyone else?
Move to approve.
Second. Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, passes. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to point out, what did I say to
you? Yeah, you were right.
What? That's a good bet.
Hey,
save your money.
The clock's, no, the clock's wrong. It's
half hour on.
All right, we'll yeah. resume the morning at 6 p.m.
You didn't say everything's
time.
East Coast
is
time.
Is there any other
huh?
business
this is East Coast
to come
time.
Before the
yeah.
committee
hey.
Regarding the budget?
I'm leaving my book here. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Leave your books here if you like.
Well,
if you want, again, just procedurally, if you want to revisit something.
Recess.
It's tomorrow, the next day, the
well,
next day.
Wait that long. You
the entire
know.
Budget
you
is
know
before the committee
yeah.
every
oh,
night.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
just for your information, I'm not encouraging you, but
it made a motion.
I can do that.
Yeah. Motion to recess.
There's a motion to adjourn till tomorrow.
Second.
Is there a second?
Second.
Ed made the motion.
All those in
How
favor
can you call this an adjournment?
Adjourn to 6 o'clock tomorrow.
What?
It's not an adjournment.